Amen. All right, boys and girls, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians 4 again. Back in 2 Corinthians 4. This morning we were in the last part of this same chapter. Tonight we're going to be in the first part of this chapter, and I'll not have you stand tonight. We're just going to read a couple verses and then give you the thought that the Lord's laid on our heart. Look there in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us today, letting us be in your house and the good singing and everything that's been done. Pray that you'll bless now your word. May it go out in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and do a great and mighty work in our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Again, this morning, we preached a message and dealt with the last part of this chapter, dealing with getting dedicated to the gospel, getting dedicated to the gospel ministry. And that is something the Lord's been dealing with my heart about, and this kind of goes right along with that. And so we'll give you some thoughts out of these passages or these verses here that are kind of similar or in the same vein as those thoughts this morning. Because here he's dealing with, again, he's dealing with the gospel. Paul is. He's dealing with preaching the gospel. That's what he talks about in verse 3. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And so he's talking about their ministry and preaching the gospel and spreading the gospel and all those things. And that is, you'll find that common theme throughout Paul's ministry, the ministry of the apostles, that's what they had on their mind. I mean, anything else they did was a means to the end of getting the gospel, furthering the gospel. And so we talked tonight just kind of in general, or this morning in general, trying to encourage and challenge all of us, all of our hearts, to get dedicated to the gospel ministry. And tonight I want to look at a few of the requirements that I believe we can see here in these verses. Requirements for the gospel ministry. I mean, not anybody can just jump into the ministry of the gospel. Now, a lot are trying to and are, you know, doing it to a degree. I mean, we've got, you know, the religious motions that people are going through and saying that they're in the gospel ministry. But the truth is, there are really requirements, things that are required of us to be involved in the ministry of the true gospel, the true gospel. And so I believe we see those here. And so I just want to look at some of these tonight. Pray they'll be a blessing and help to you. And first of all, I think we see the first one there in the first verse. And we'll just kind of go just kind of straight through these verses here, really in verses 1 and 2. But the first one I think we see there, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." And so in that, what I see is a commission accepted. He said, "We have this ministry," the ministry that God's given them. Now, you think about the ministry, this gospel ministry. And again, just like we said this morning, we all would agree, shake our heads and say amen to the fact that the gospel ministry is the greatest, you know, ministry we have, the greatest thing we have this side of eternity. It's the most important thing in life is the gospel ministry. But think about, I mean, who gave us this ministry? Who gave us this commission? Was it a church? Or was it a preacher or a group of preachers? Was it education? Was it even theology? You know, a theological degree? It's none of that. It's none of that. It's not for the theologian necessarily. It's not necessarily for the preacher. And it's not necessarily, you know, it's not just for that. The gospel, the Great Commission, we call it, was given to us by Jesus Christ. And that's given to all of us by Jesus Christ. And we would say that's the greatest commission ever given to man. Again, we call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not the greatest commission, but it is the greatest commission ever given to man. The greatest commission was when Jesus was commissioned, the Son of God was commissioned to come down to a wicked world and go to an old rugged cross to die and shed His blood for you and for me, that we might be saved. That's the greatest commission, but the Great Commission is the greatest commission ever given to man. And that is the greatest commission we've been given, is what Jesus said there in Matthew 28. When He said, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That's the greatest commission you and I have ever been given. Not the American dream, not a great career, not being well known and well liked, having a great family, all those things. None of those things supersede or even come close to the commission we have been given regarding the gospel ministry. And so many have heard the call. Many folks down through the years, they've heard the call. Many have responded and submitted to the call. That's the thing what we all need to realize, that the call is there for all of us. It's there. The question is whether or not we're going to submit to the call, whether or not we're going to get dedicated to the call, whether or not we're going to sacrifice, lay ourselves on the altar of service, whether we're not going to, we're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the question. The call is there. Many have heard that call. Like Isaiah, many have submitted to the call. Isaiah 6, verse 8. He said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me." A lot of folks have heard that call and had that attitude and had that heart that, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Whatever you can use me to do, I'll do. You know, whatever capacity, you know, if you can use me, use me." We were watching just yesterday. I turned on, it's on YouTube. Tremendous. It's great. And the first part of it, he's really giving his testimony. If you can save me, and if you can use me, amen. And I think that's the place we need to get to, not necessarily just for salvation, but in terms of this commission. Lord, if you can use me, here am I, send me, just use me. Whatever capacity that is, I'm willing to lay aside anything to be used of you. So many have heard that call and submitted to it. The question is, will you submit to the call? Will I submit to the call? So there's a commission accepted. But then I see also in verse number 1, a conversion assumed. He said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy." So the reason they have that ministry, the reason that they've accepted the commission, is because they've received mercy. In other words, it's just an assumption that there's been a conversion in their life. That's one of the prerequisites of accepting the gospel call and being dedicated and involved in the gospel ministry, is being converted. Now, lost man knows in his heart that it would be evil to not be punished for his sin. Lost men, they know that. They might not say that, they might not agree with it, and And they might not acknowledge it, but the truth is, deep down in their soul, they know that it would be evil of God to not deal with their sin, the sin they've committed all their life and rejecting it. So they know that. And so when a man realizes that, gets honest with God, honest with himself, he then begins to seek mercy. And he finds it at the foot of the cross. Amen? And from that point on, that man is able to say, I have received mercy. Amen. That's what we're able to say tonight. If we've been saved, we're able to say, I have received mercy. We have this ministry because we've received mercy. Just like the song they just sang, I've not forgotten the night that I received mercy. Amen. And thank God for it. And so from that point on, that can be the testimony. And that is a prerequisite of the gospel ministry. Somebody who's not received mercy cannot be dedicated to the ministry of the gospel. Can't be involved in the ministry of the gospel. But once truly converted, that requirement has been met in our life. So if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, there is a commission for you to get dedicated to the gospel ministry. So there's a conversion of soon. That's a prerequisite. That's a requirement. Number three, in verse number one, very last phrase there, he says, we faint not. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Reminds me of that song, that old song that we used to sing a lot, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. He says we faint not. In other words, in that, what you see is the decision. It's a decision. And by the way, you know, we don't get dedicated and committing and commit our lives to serving the Lord and having the gospel as a priority in life. We don't do that by mistake or by accident. It in no way comes natural to dedicate our lives to the gospel ministry, even for saved people. That's why repentance is something that's continued on in our life. Repentance is not a one-time thing where we repent and get saved and suddenly we're clear of everything we ever need to repent of. No, the second we repent, we keep on repenting. In fact, the greatest battle I've ever had with my flesh has been since I repented. Since I repented, that's when I really started doing the most repenting, or at least seen the need of it. We don't always repent when we need to, but we see the need of it. If you're in a gospel, if you're in a Bible preaching church, you see the need in your life to repent. Probably every time you're in the service, every time you hear the Bible preached, you at least see the need somewhere that you need to repent and get things right. And sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't, but the fact is we always continually repent. And that's a decision. That's not something God's going to make us do. That's a decision. And so we make the decision to dedicate to the gospel ministry. And that's a daily death. See, tonight there's some of us that probably need to repent. Need to repent and get things right. We need to just be honest and acknowledge, I've not been dedicated to the gospel like I should. I've not sacrificed myself and my flesh for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel like I should. I've allowed fear to control me and the concerns of what people are going to think about. I've allowed all that to control me, and I've not been dedicated as I should. And what we ought to do is just repent. Just get right with God and say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to do right. I'm going to lay this on the altar, and I'm going to, moving forward, I'm going to do right. I'm going to lay myself on the altar, and I'm going to dedicate to the gospel that I'm going to do whatever I can to get the gospel out. And that's a decision. It's a decision. But in that you don't necessarily just see a decision, you also see determination. It says that in spite of trial and tribulation, in spite of how hard it gets, in spite of how much rejection, you know, I experience, in spite of how little results I see, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I'm going to keep on moving forward for the glory of God. It says that I will not be discouraged. I'll not turn back. I'll not back down. I'll not turn away. By the way, you can fail. You can make that. Make up your mind to make that decision tonight, and you can fail at that tomorrow. You know the key to the Christian life? I heard a man preach a message one time at the key of the Christian life. He preached on the key of the Christian life. And the key of the Christian life is get up. That's what he preached on. The key of the Christian life is get up. In other words, whenever you fall down, whenever you dedicate to God and you fail at what you do, what do? You get back up and you go again. You just go again. And I'll not turn back. I'll not be discouraged. I'll not back down. I'll not turn away. But if I do, if that does happen, I'm just going to get back up and keep going again. We faint not. There's nothing that's going to keep me from getting the gospel, trying to further the gospel. It says we have an understanding. When he says we faint not, it says I have an understanding of the salvation message, and I will do all within my power to further the gospel in this wicked generation, this wicked world. Listen, if you're saved tonight, you've got an understanding of salvation that the world does not have. And it's an understanding of true Holy Ghost salvation that they're not going to get any other way. And so, a commitment made. We faint not. What about there? Look in verse number 2. He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. In that I see a condemnation of dishonesty. He condemns dishonesty. That is, dishonesty in the efforts of getting the gospel out. It involves standing against all wickedness. It involves standing against all contrary teachings. It involves standing against anything that would discredit the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of dishonesty involved in what the world would call the gospel ministry. I mean, you just look around, man. There's a lot of dishonesty and there's a lot of shady things that are going on in the name of reaching people. In the name of getting folks to have an experience with Jesus. That's what the world's looking for, man. They want to have an experience. And there's a lot of really shady, you know, things that are going on, certainly not biblical, that are all done in the name of trying to reach people. But renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty, that seeks to present a blameless ministry. It says, I'm going to cleanse myself. We're going to cleanse ourselves of all wrong. It says, we're going to perfect holiness, or I'm going to perfect holiness in my life for the sake of the gospel ministry. That's part of meeting the requirements of being dedicated to the gospel ministry, is purging ourselves of all wrong and perfecting holiness in our life. Now we preach and we deal with these things all the time, but particularly in regards to the gospel and reaching the lost and having an effect on society, man, there's few things in the world. I don't know of anything really that causes more damage and more harm and affects our ability to get the gospel out more than somebody who would say, I'm a Christian, I'm a member of this church, I'm involved in what they're doing, I'm one of them, and then before the world to live totally contrary to what the Bible says and what we preach and teach and believe, what we stand for. I tell you, there's going to be a pretty stout account to give before the Lord at the judgment for things like that. I mean, I don't know, man. I would really hate to stand before God and have to give an account. You know, whenever God brings up what our church has tried to do and what God's people is trying to do and the mission that we had before us, and then then for Him to also bring up the things that I did before the world. You know, the things that the world and my so-called friends and my co-workers saw in me that were so contrary. The things they heard me say. And the music they heard me listening to. And the clothes they saw me wear. Or not wear, for that matter. or the places they saw me go. You know, I mean, all the wilderness or things in my life that they saw that gave them a good excuse to reject the God of the Bible and reject salvation. So that's part of meeting the requirements for the gospel ministry. Condemning dishonesty. That's really what it is. It's dishonest. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. People have gotten so good at faking their life on social media, on the internet. And life is so much about what you're portrayed to be than it is about who you really are in this day. People have gotten so good at it that they do it at church now. They come to church and they put the clothes on that they know the preacher expects them to wear and they know the church expects them to wear. And they sing the hymns because they know them by heart and they can just say the words and they can flip right to the Bible book that the preacher says to turn to because they've just been exposed to it all their life and can just go through all the motions. Just go through all the motions and it not really mean and be anything. You know what that is? That is the hidden things of dishonesty because God knows the hidden things in their life. It's dishonesty. It's portraying a dishonest image of yourself for the sake of pleasing the church and fitting in at church, but then going out and fitting right back in with the world. It's the hidden things of dishonesty. Yeah, you might pull it over on the preacher and the church and even, you know, mom and dad or your family or whatever, you might pull it over on them. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Paul said, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And why specifically for that? For the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel. For the gospel. And so there's condemning dishonesty. But look there in verse number 2 again. He said, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Then he says, not walking in craftiness. You would think those two would be connected, and they are in a way. But they're also separate. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, but we're also not walking in craftiness. See, deceit and craftiness have no place in the ministry of the gospel. Deceit and craftiness and trickery has no place in our ability to get the gospel out, our ability to reach people, has no place in our methods getting the gospel out in the gospel. It has no place. And we should avoid, you and I both should avoid any method that emulates the scheming methods of men in our day. Now you might trick a weak-minded person into buying a ragged-out vehicle and paying too much for it. But those same methods ought never to be applied to the gospel. I mean, we've come to this day where, you know, there's so much salesmanship that's being applied to the gospel ministry. So much marketing and all these things that are being applied. And I'm not necessarily against, you know, everything that's being done to get the gospel. I mean, for instance, I'm not against all these preachers and churches that are putting the gospel out through the internet and all those things. And I think there's a lot of dangers there. I don't know if y'all listened to that podcast I sent you here the other day. It's tremendous. If you haven't listened to it, you really need to. It's great. And what it is, it's a preacher talking about, who's been in the ministry a long time, talking about the transition of going from preaching on the radio, which is kind of a thing of the past now in a lot of ways, transitioning to internet and how everything's in internet and just the challenges there and the problems there and the things, you know, I mean, because it does. It presents a lot of challenges. He talks about how, you know, whenever you put your messages on the internet, he said, used to when you preached on the radio, someone would hear that message on the radio and then write to whatever church it was to try to get more messages, and they would send a catalog, you know, where you could choose, and they would send you whatever messages on tape. Yep. Back in the good old days of tapes, right? And they'd send you the tape, and then, of course, it moved into CDs, and now it's internet. But he said that's how it was back then. And there was, you know, it's like completely pure in it. Because if they're listening to preaching, they're listening to Christian radio anyways. It's not like they're listening to, you know, honky-tonk music between the preaching. And if they're listening to preaching on the radio, they're listening to a good, solid Christian radio station. That's the way it was years ago. He said now, and of course that was all pure. Now you fast forward to the internet, and to have someone go online and listen to your message, he equates it to this. He said it's almost like sending them a block or two down. You know, someone hear a message and say, man, I want to hear more of that preacher. You say, well, that's Brother So-and-so. And if you'll go about a block or two down the road down here, there's a building, there's a store down there, and you can go in there, and you can, he's in there, and he's got his messages, and he can give you some more of his messages. But just know that in one part of that building, there's a strip club. And there's also a lot of other things you're going to have to walk through, and also a lot of other things that are there in that building, but he's in there, and he'll give you the messages. He said that's almost like what it is whenever we're putting our messages on the internet. I don't know the solution to it. It just is what it is, you know. I mean, I don't know the solution, but you see the challenges there. You see all the challenges. But I'm just saying that I'm not necessarily against all of that, trying to get the gospel out, get it on the internet where we can be heard around the world. I don't know that y'all realize this, but the messages that we preach here, you can see the parts of the world on the backside of our back end of our website. You can see who specifically has listened, but you can see the parts of the world that have listened to our messages. And they've been heard in India. I'm talking about the messages preached right here in this pulpit, Unity Baptist Church in Ayer, Mississippi, have been heard in India and Ireland and the UK and Australia and the Philippines. I mean, all over, man. It's incredible. Right here in little Amory, Mississippi, and folks all over the world have heard the messages preached right here. I think that's wonderful. I think that's great. So I'm not against all those things, but I am against, and I believe the Word of God preaches and teaches against, craftiness and deceit and trickery. And we should avoid any method that emulates that. See, men are not tricked into salvation. And by the way, man really is not even moved to salvation in his intellect alone. See, I think the devil gets in our mind a lot of times and gets us so afraid of trying to get the gospel out because he tells you, you're going to say something wrong. And they're going to have, you know, they're going to have this wrong idea. And he gets us all concerned thinking that we've got to be perfect, man. And we've got to deal, it's up to us to appeal to man's intellect in such a way that he'll be moved to want to be saved. But man is not tricked into salvation. And man doesn't get saved even in his intellect alone. And man's not entertained into salvation. Now, you can fill up a church building with it, but you can't move man to true, everlasting, Holy Ghost salvation by entertaining him, entertaining his flesh. By the way, you can't even hold a man's interest forever that way. There's going to come a time that people will just lose interest in the entertainment that the so-called church is offering. There's just going to come a time. I mean, it's going to happen eventually. There's going to be something bigger, better out there that's going to capture their heart and their interest more, and you know they'll move on. So man is not moved to salvation in those ways. So there's no need for us to try to use those things. What man needs to hear is the plain, simple message of the gospel. The plain, simple truth of the Word of God. Man needs to hear that he is a sinner and be convinced with the Word of God that he is a sinner and acknowledge that he is a sinner and be convicted over his sin because he's a sinner. Man needs to hear that. And that's just the plain, simple truth. It's not complicated. And man needs to hear that Christ died for his sin. Once he's convicted, realizes he's a sinner and convicted over that, and realize he's going to hell and deserves hell and should go to hell because of his sin, he then needs to hear that Christ died for his sins. The just for the unjust. Christ gave himself for his sins. And then he needs to hear that if he's going to be saved, he must repent and be converted to Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. The payment's been made. Jesus has died. You're a sinner. You deserve hell. But Jesus paid the way. And if you'll receive that, you'll repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can be saved from the wrath to come right now. That's what man needs to hear. Nothing complicated and nothing crafty and nothing deceptive. They just simply need the simple truth of the gospel. Isn't it amazing when you start thinking about it that really the answer to the majority of life's deepest questions that most people consider the deepest, the answer to most of them is just simple things. Man is constantly searching for something deep and complicated to solve life's problems. But the answer to most problems is pretty simple. I mean, you think about the fact how many people are going to doctors to find a magic pill to fix all their problems. Fix every problem they have. They want a magic pill. They don't want to change their diet. Don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to change anything. They just want this magic pill. This, you know, magic pill that's complicated, and some scientist in a you know, science lab has put all this effort and work into, and now it's this, you know, wonderful thing that they can just do it and it fixes all their problems. Let me move on there from there. But that's the truth. I mean, really, when you look at a lot of things, the answer to a lot of life's deepest questions is just really simple answers most of the time. But people think you've got to have more than that. And they especially think that when it comes to spiritual things. But the truth is, what man needs is just to accept the simple gospel. That's what he needs to hear from us, is the simple gospel. So, craftiness avoided. Let me give you one or two more very quickly. Craftiness avoided, but then he says in verse 2, not handling the word of God deceitfully. So craftiness avoided, but then also there's the word carefully applied. That speaks of clear, accurate exposition of the word. Just simply taking a verse of Scripture and just letting man read that verse of Scripture and then just explaining the simple truth of what it is. See, again, getting back to that craftiness, people always want to look for these deeper hidden meanings in these verses. That's the preachers everybody wants to listen to, are the ones who are going back to the Greek and digging out all these hidden meanings, man. The Bible's pretty black and white. We can't improve on just the simple black and white facts of just what the Bible says. Just let the Bible be the Bible and let God be God. And that's really what man needs. He doesn't need deeper things from us. And God doesn't expect him to give deeper. God gave his word. He gave his word. And this is what he expects us to give the lost world. It's just his word. Not our thoughts on it. Not our commentary on it necessarily. But just reading the verse and telling them this is what that means. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means every person that's ever lived has sinned and comes short of what God expects and what God requires of man. That includes me, that includes you, that includes all of us. That's just the simple truth. There's nothing deeper that needs to be dug out of that. Amen? Word carefully, clear, accurate exposition of the words. See, false ministers, they may manipulate people for sinful reasons. Filthy lucre, whatever it is, you know, or whatever sinful reason you want to come up with. But you know what we want? We want God-honoring, soul-saving results. And to get that, we have to use the Word of God correctly. And to use the Word of God correctly, we just simply let the Bible be the Bible. Basically what it comes down to. Last of all, word carefully applied. Last of all, behavior commended. He says, by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. One man said this. He said, the world wants to live in sin, but will not tolerate sin in those who witness. And that's mighty true. And by the way, the world has the right to expect us to not live in sin. I mean, you know, the world, they want to live in sin themselves, and they'll even tolerate a carnal Christian that, you know, is involved in some sin. But the second you open your mouth and start witnessing, they will not tolerate that. And they have the right to not tolerate it. They have the right to expect more of us. They have that right. And so our behavior must be beyond reproach. It goes right back to what we were talking about earlier. If your behavior is not what becomes a Christian, not becoming of a Christian, of a saved person, it is a reproach against the gospel. And it brings shame and disgrace on the gospel and on the Savior that you say you love. I mean, we're talking about the one who died, shed His blood, and I mean, just went so far beyond what we deserve. And yet our behavior can bring a sad, sad reproach and disgrace on Him. And so behavior commended. Requirements of the gospel ministry. Those are things that are required. And if any area, any or all areas, you look at your life and you say, man, I've not been as dedicated as I should be. And some of those things, boy, I've not been where I should be, not been right. You know what you ought to do? You ought to repent. You ought to just repent, get right with God, make up your mind, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, whatever it costs me, no matter what. The gospel's the most important thing in my life. I'm going to make sure it stays that way. I'm going to choose to make the gospel ministry my priority and let nothing come between that. And by the way, the gospel ministry, again, we talked about this morning, that poor word preached used 140 some odd times in the Bible, and only 6 times is it a discourse like this. Most of the times it's one-on-one. See, the gospel ministry doesn't mean you give up all your life and move to Africa to start a church. Paul and Silas were in prison winning folks to the Lord. You know, wherever you are, I mean, whether it's on the job or whether it's at school or whether it's just day-to-day life, whatever it is, our life ought to, the gospel ministry ought to be on the forefront of our mind. Every person we come in contact with, that cashier, that waitress, that the lady behind the counter at the bank, I mean, everyone we come in contact with, the priority in our mind should be, this person probably needs the Lord and I need to get the gospel to them. Have you ever thought about your soul? Have you ever thought about what would happen to you if you died today? And because the gospel is your priority, you ask that question. Strike up that conversation. Bring the Lord into it. The requirements of the gospel ministry. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for how you've worked in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all, Lord, myself included, to be dedicated to the gospel ministry. And Lord, the things that are required for the gospel ministry, Lord, dealing with behavior and dealing with all these things, Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to be thoroughly right with you. Lord, that we can get the gospel out, Lord, that we can be doing what we can, Lord, to have an effect in our community. And Lord, that we could do your will. And Lord, that we could please you and glorify you and honor you in getting the gospel out and being dedicated to the gospel ministry. I pray, Lord, you'd bless now on the altar call, Lord, for that one here tonight that you've dealt with their heart. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace and faith that it takes, Lord, to just repent, just get right with you, and Lord, to get dedicated, and Lord, to prioritize the gospel. Lord, to get, Lord, to make the right thing in our life. Lord, it's so easy, Lord, to get sidetracked with all that this world and our society has to offer. And I pray that you would help us to set our sights, set our focus, set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Help us tonight, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.